Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. Cicely here. Always grateful to have you join me. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Please and thank you. By all means, let's get into it. So, we all watched Joe Biden crumble on the debate stage, standing, of course, next to the victor, Donald Trump, in front of the CNN hosts and the greater audience, the American citizens, who tuned in to watch what we on the right side have been saying all along, that Joe Biden is basically a mental vegetable and cannot coherently, he cannot cognitively, he cannot physically, he cannot mentally, psychologically, logically, or any other adverb I can muster, he cannot run the country for yet another 4 years. We all know that. But we have also been asking who? Who has been running the country for the last 4 years? And of course, we were accused of what? Of being bullies. We're accused of being rude and mean and callous, you know, picking on senior citizens, bitter about Trump not being president, told that we were just creating headlines out of bitterness. And now the Dems want him out. Of course, they say, you know, the Republicans were right. We should all acknowledge that. They just go on as if they're just now realizing what has been obvious for quite some time, that they put a vegetable in the White House to lead the country, and he can't hide his incognition any longer. The Dems are embarrassed, and they should be. The Dems are afraid, and they should be. The Dems are looking for another candidate to replace Joe. But Jill, Dr. Jill Biden and Joe Biden, they just simply aren't having it. So since Joe's public disaster in the debate, he has been spending much of his time trying to prove that he is well and able-bodied to perform the task of President of the United States, appearing in interviews and speeches. But, that's a big old but. It has not been going particularly well for him. Now, on the 4th of July, he made the pitiful, sad, cringeworthy attempt to give a speech in the Rose Garden. He was babbling unsensically about suckers and losers and Donald Trump. An easy speech to knock out, right? This should have been really simple. This is July 4th, right? It's Independence Day. It should have been easy, or what should have been easy. It's about America. It's about our independence, a celebratory day, celebrating our independence from Great Britain of 248 years. How easy can it be? Especially for the Biden administration, considering he's running on saving democracy, right? Should have been a cakewalk. Should have been just that easy. But as usual, he blew it. He babbles in the end about traffic congestion. It was a terrible, terrible scene. In Madison, Wisconsin, he reassures the audience that he will remain in the race. He's not stepping down. This, of course, being good news for us, right? I mean, are you all like me enjoying having a front row seat to watch the Democratic Party crumble and scramble to figure out this whole entire cognitive conundrum? It's been a blast, okay? I personally, and you should as well, hope that he keeps his, let's hope that he keeps good on his promise and Jill keeps good on her pressure and determination to keep the title of First Lady, to remain in the race and remain the nominee. This administration has been a four-year disaster in leadership, in decision-making, in foreign affairs, in economy, the border security, on and on. It's been a four-year disaster in ability, in aptitude, and intelligence. We had the defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, remember, who went missing for weeks. He went missing for weeks in the middle of an international crisis, telling no one, not even Joe Biden, of his absence or the reason for it. We had Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who took a 2-month paternity leave to care for his husband after the pain and the joy and demands and the overall ravages of childbirth. Oh, I'm having so much fun. No one notices that he's gone, right? He's gone for 2 months. No one notices, except us on the right, of course. We are the ones that brought it up and brought it to light. You have Kamala Harris, another one missing in action, another one MIA. Couldn't get her to the border, though she was named the border czar. Okay, we have KJP in front of the press, lying and stumbling and stuttering as she attempts to mislead and cover up or smooth over the obvious embarrassment and buffoonery called the Biden-Harris administration. Gets embarrassed by Joe and Kamala and many of the leads in the administration. Of course, this administration of fools who are incapable of putting water in a dog dish, has led the American people to a 40-year high inflation rate, a busted economy, gas and groceries and other basic household items and needs are sky high in affordability for working Americans, and they have an overall disdain and disregard for those very Americans. Legacy media insisting that the economy is fine. Remember the word transitory. It's the people's fault, right? This is what they're trying to convince you, that it's the people's fault. It's just our perception. Gas and groceries are not more expensive. It's just our perception. The affordability of housing and rent and gas and electric bills are imagined and not Joe Biden's fault. It is not due to Joe Biden's decisions. And Joe Biden is simply not getting the credit he is due for Bidenomics, because the top 6% or so have made some money in the stock market. And because of that, they're saying that the economy is great. And the polls continue to rise and fall depending on the camp for which you are cheering for. New poll, okay? This is a new poll that's coming out of Washington Post. You got to hear this, folks. This is amazing. Donald Trump now has a 6-point lead over Joe Biden. 6 points? I'm thinking it's over for national voters. 80% of voting Americans now say Joe Biden is too old to run for a second term. 80%. You can't get 80% of people to agree on religion. You can't get 80% of people to agree on science or relationships or the outcome of the Super Bowl, okay? And yet 80% say he's too old to run for another term. Let me give you the full gamut. Now, again, this is per the Washington Post. Trump's lead over Biden is in a two-person matchup is 48-42. Trump had just a 2-point lead in February, okay, some months ago. And now, after the debate debacle, many Dems are calling for Joe Biden's withdrawal. Only 34% view the president in a favorable light. 63% of that is unfavorable. Less than 40% approve of his handling of inflation, immigration, the economy, or his office overall. So basically, the Democrats are embarrassed, as they should be, and can no longer hide behind the farce, the facade, the fake of Joe Biden. And now the voters are starting to realize, okay, they're starting to realize, and that includes my family members. I have a family reunion coming up the second week of August, and I cannot wait, one, to kiss and hug and say hello, but two, to rub a Joe Biden in their face, okay? Because he has been a colossal failure. They have been fooled into believing that Joe Biden is capable, that he's alert and smart and someone who could lead. The survey goes on to say that the enthusiasm for Joe Biden is non-existent. Oh, my goodness. We have to enjoy this right now, you guys. We have to sit here in the front row seat and watch this administration crumble and enjoy our front seat. We're sitting VIP. 76%, that's 2/3 of the Democrats, would vote to replace Joe Biden on the ballot for president with another nominee. 76% of them right now want to pluck him out of that seat and put in another nominee. This is disaster poll results for Joe Biden, which per Washington Post. Meanwhile, Remington Research Group has poll results as well. Of the swing states, and they are as follows. Wisconsin has Trump up 6 points. Pennsylvania has Trump up 5 points. Michigan has Trump up 3. Arizona, Trump is up 7. Nevada, Trump is up 7. Texas, Trump is up 10. Ohio, Trump is up 10. And Montana, Trump is up 20 points. It's over in Montana. If you are a Democrat, those are horrifying numbers, to say the least. And then there's the Daily Mail that put out this. Trump favorite to Kamala Harris, 49-38. Let me say that again. Per the Daily Mail, Trump is favorite to Kamala Harris, 49-38. Do you understand what that indicates? Do you understand what this means? As bad and as terrible and as much of a failure that Joe Biden is, there is actually someone who is even more unpopular than Joe Biden, and that is Kamala Harris. Not even sure how this is possible. Savage truth moment right here, folks. With this administration, it's possible. This administration actually found the person who is more unpopular than Joe Biden and made her vice president. This, of course, is significant because after the interview with George Stephanopoulos, this was supposed to be the recovery interview to show the American people and convince Dem leaders and donors that Joe indeed had a bad night and that the cold that he somehow seemed to attract about 50 minutes into the interview was at play, and that Joe is up for the task and is alert and ready as ever to lead the country for another 4 years. Savage truth, he failed. He failed that interview with Stephanopoulos. Now, the interview did not alleviate any concerns. It did not put voters or donors at ease. It only further confirmed the obvious that Joe is probably in his second phase of Alzheimer's and Jill is a terrible, terrible wife. Okay. It was a 22-minute sink or swim predicament for Joe's campaign and presidency as certain names now are floating for replacement. Kamala Harris being the top candidate. Now, when I talk about us having a front row seat to watch this debacle, you have to understand that the Democrats are in a conundrum right here. See, they have to push Kamala because they're all about critical race theory and they're all about affirmative action and they're all about DEI. So they can't possibly pass a black first-time female black vice president over for presidency. They have to put her through because of their policies, right? And then think about Hillary Clinton. This is so good. This is so juicy. Hillary Clinton will then have to accept that the first woman to ever become president, if that were to ever happen, and it's not, that it wasn't her. If you are a Republican right now watching this, you are having a great time. You are enjoying your VIP seats. Also heard Hillary Clinton's name and Gavin Newsom and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, right? These are some other names that are floating by. During the interview, Joe said this, there's no indication of any serious condition, blaming a really bad cold mixed with fatigue from overseas travel 12 days before the debate. He said this, and I quote, I was exhausted. I didn't listen to my instincts in terms of preparing and a bad night. Biden was also unclear at times, answering a question about what he experienced during debate, starting with an explanation of how he prepared, only to pivot to the New York Times polling in the race. And then shifting to complaints about former President Donald Trump lying 28 times on stage before drifting off into how the debate was run, while emphasizing that he was not blaming anyone else. That sounds like blame shifting to me. Now, Biden needed a game changer. Savage truth right here. This wasn't it. This interview with Stephanopoulos was not it. He needed to sound in command of his messaging. This was not a time for meandering. He failed miserably again. Now, Biden's political skills are still attuned enough to let him dodge a question Stephanopoulos passed repeatedly on whether he'd be willing to take an independently administered cognitive test and then release the results. Biden pushed back twice, saying that the job of the president is a cognitive test every single day, to which most Americans agree, which is why most Dems wish for him to step aside. We agree with you. It's a cognitive test every single day, and you're failing, and you have been for 4 years. Biden seemed to think it was. When voters wonder if you're up to the test about a serious failure like the debate debacle, telling them every day is a test is likely to spark as much apprehension than confidence. And I think this is what we're seeing. Listen, savages, if Biden, by the way of Jill, insists on staying in, Biden needs to fix his campaign. Biden is undoubtedly running out of time to fix his campaign, and what happens next will decide things. This is what is my concern. At this point, as far as Dems will or will not accept Joe as the candidate, here's the savage truth. It takes a tremendous amount of confidence and competence to run for and win the presidency. But here's a question. What if confidence keeps flowing after confidence runs dry? Stephanopoulos tried to explore that, and this is what he got. Here was Joe's response to that question. But here's a question, something for you to ponder. What if confidence keeps flowing after competence runs dry? Stephanopoulos tried to explore that, and this is what he got. This was Joe's response. I don't think anyone's more qualified to be president or win this race than me. How confident? Biden was asked if he'd reconsider staying in the race if close allies told him that he might cost the Democratic Party control of the House and the Senate. And this was his answer. I'm not going to answer that question. It's not going to happen. Now, social media has been abuzz all week with ardent Biden supporters who blame his problems on overactive imaginations among the news media. But blaming the media will not and does not change the situation for Democrats and does not after or alter the facts of how they got there. Only Biden can work his way back from the political disaster that he created. Yeah. Sure, he looked fired up Friday afternoon during a speech for a cheering crowd at a middle school in Madison, Wisconsin. But he spoke for less than 20 minutes with a teleprompter. He insisted that nobody would push me out of the race. I'm not letting one 90-minute debate wipe out 3.5 years of work. Biden said this that afternoon at this rally in Madison, Wisconsin, as he announced his aggressive travel schedule to battleground states for the rest of July. If the Biden administration wants this win, they will need to get aggressive. But a less than 20-minute speech and a 22-minute interview during a week of intense risk doesn't smack of aggressiveness. This is not time for complacency, okay, Republicans, conservatives. 4 months, as you know, is plenty of time to lose gains. 4 months is plenty of time to make mistakes. It's plenty of time to take votes for granted and the Biden campaign to come up with another nominee to reinvigorate the Democratic Party. So we cannot get complacent. The Democratic Party has some scrambling to do. The Democratic Party for presidential nomination they've got some figuring to do, right? The day after the debate, less than 20-minute speech and a 22-minute interview during a week of intense risk doesn't smack of aggressiveness, as I said. The 4th of July and other speeches post-debate on the campaign trail, as well as the ABC News interview, at best, may slow down calls for Democratic officials for him to step down, perhaps to be replaced by Vice President Kamala Harris. She wants it to be president. She's just chomping at the bit. You know she's salivating. She's dreaming. She's imagining, right? But it may not. It may or it may not. As a matter of fact, several senior House Democrats said Sunday that President Biden should end his reelection campaign in the wake of his recent debate to performance. I'm talking about Representative Jerry Nadler of New York, Mark Takano of California, Adam Smith of Washington, and Joe Morrell of New York. They said this on Sunday during a Zoom meeting with House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, that Mr. Biden, Joe Biden, should leave the race. He should leave the race, according to a person on the call and three other people familiar with the meeting. Four additional Democrats in Congress told their lawmaker colleagues during a phone call Sunday that they believe President Joe should step aside to allow someone else to be the party's nominee for president, according to multiple people on the call who are familiar with that very discussion. Now, all four lawmakers hold top positions on key committees and bring the number of Democrats in Congress who have called for Biden to reconsider his bid for president to nearly a dozen. Smith is the top Democrat on the Armed Services Committee. Similar positions are held by Nadler on the Judiciary Committee, Takano on the Veterans Affairs Committee, and Morrell on the House Administration Committee. So the conversation took place on Sunday afternoon during a call convened by House Democrat Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York. During the call, which lasted over an hour, Biden's future as the leader of the party was heavily called into question, according to the sources. Each lawmaker was given a chance to speak in order of seniority. Even those who did not explicitly call on Biden to bow out expressed concerns that he's not the strongest candidate to beat former President Donald Trump in November. And that's according to some additional sources. There was an overwhelming sense among lawmakers that Vice President Kamala Harris would be a better nominee, I told you, than Biden. And she would be the obvious choice to replace Biden should he exit the race, the additional sources said. Kamala Harris up against Donald J. Trump. Bring it. This is the state of the Biden's campaign right now. Always one slip away from a fatal fall, precariously staying politically alive 1 week at a time. And maybe, just maybe, it will possibly buy him another week under close scrutiny. The problem is he has to deliver top performance for 4 straight months from here on out. No gaffes, no colds, no falls, no tumbles. Right? No risk misrepresentations, no lies consecutively for 4 months straight between now and Election Day for Biden to remain in the race. Here's the savage truth. We can all see it. The Dems are not at all counting or betting on Biden. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And do what? Be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.